Us to turn to Genesis chapter 47. There's something kind of special about this passage. I've never heard anybody preach on this passage. But one time in my lifetime as a Christian, and it'll soon be 60 years, I don't know exactly why that is. It's quite interesting, but it tells us something about someone's last words, their famous last words. It's about Jacob and what he had to say about his 12 sons. And it's quite interesting. Jacob in himself is a very interesting character in Scripture. And you would know that he had interesting children with interesting backgrounds and things in their life. So I thought tonight we would take a look at this and let it remind us that if you have children, you know they're different. They are different. Sometimes one parent may say to the other one, "That's yours, not mine." So you think about that. Jacob takes all the credit for these, and he doesn't hesitate to tell you how he feels about them. And I think that's quite interesting. Let's look in the 47th chapter, look at verse 27. "And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand upon my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me. And he sware unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head." Now in chapter 48, down verse 21, "Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die. But God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow." Let that suffice for right now. The 49th chapter contains his comments regarding his 12 sons. These are really prophetic scriptures because they not only speak to us of 12 sons, but they more or less describe historically the turn of events in the life of the Israelite, those in that land that has caused so much in the way of distress and concern. Yet, God laid his hand upon the children of Israel, the children of Jacob, and he called them his people. He, like we were we need to remind him and call them his children. He called them his people. And he said, I have not chosen you to be my people or to be my people because you're beautiful or rich or have a lot of other things going for you. I love you. And that's the only reason he gave, which is good enough. But I think I'm going to just take each one of these rather than read through this entire chapter at one reading and just begin with the 49th chapter and give out exactly what he had to say about his sons. Verse 1 of chapter 49, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Now, you may say, well, why the two names? Well, his mother and father gave him the name Jacob. He had a brother, and some distressing things happened between he and his brother, Esau. But one day there was a change in Jacob's life. He's called the supplanter. He was a crafty man. He was a man that was given to deceit. There were some things about him that were not very complimentary. Because of some of that, his mother sent him away to live with her brother, Laban. And it so happened that Laban was just a notch above him as far as being clever and smart. And he put him through a school of learning. He taught him some things. He brought him face to face with what life is all about. There are people in the world that do things that they're not exactly what you would compliment them for. They're deceitful. But upon an experience that he had in which he wanted to be reconciled to his brother Esau, he took his family and en route to meeting his brother, he had an encounter with God. And there was a nighttime experience in which prayer was made, and it says the angel of the Lord, but it was God. And he wrestled with the Lord. And as a result of that, Jacob said, unless you bless me, I'm not going to let you go. And so the Lord did bestow upon him a blessing. I think he was different from that time on, and he was called Israel. His name was changed. And today, you don't think about the land of Jacob, but you think about the land of Israel. He was indeed, historically, someone that the people in the land today think about in terms of someone that had a lot of impact upon them as a nation. I'd like to start with the names that are mentioned here. Picture, if you will, an old man. He's at the door of death. He's fixing to die. And he has these 12 sons come in before him. He's going to have some things to say about them. And he tells it just like it is. Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father.
Reuben.
That was his first son. You've been disappointed in some of your children. Reuben was a disappointment to Jacob. He never forgot it. They have a saying about him that is mentioned in Scripture. When he was born, "Behold, a son. I have a son." He is certainly one that Jacob looked to, being his first. And probably he had many plans and things that he thought about that would happen in the life of this son, that he would be a tribute. He'd be someone that he could be proud of. But something happened in his life. That's life itself. He says, "Thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength." The excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. There were great plans. There were things that were planned and purposed that would happen with these children that he was bearing. "The beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power." But then something has happened. He doesn't go on in that same tone and begin to tell us about how wonderful Reuben is. He says, "You are unstable as water." And you know how unstable water is. "Thou shalt not excel." He brings before us a reminder that the wages of sin is always unpleasant. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. In this case, the day of reckoning is come, and Jacob tells it just like it is about Reuben. Reuben was guilty of immorality. "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed. Then defilest thou it, he went up to my couch." Your moral values were all mixed up, and you made a terrible mistake. And it seems like it, as you read about Reuben and you read about the course of his life, I don't know how great an impact it had upon him, what Jacob is saying about him, but I'm sure that it had some impact upon his life. It always does. Sometimes it's hard to shake loose from what you have in the way of a record or diary of what has happened in your life. So Reuben is not one that I think he rejoiced in. Then we come to Simeon and Levi, the next two sons. Now, Reuben, of course, Simeon and Levi were both sons of Leah. That was out of that experience that he had when he was with his uncle. He said, "You are brethren, instruments of cruelty." "O my soul, come not thou into their secret, into their assembly. Mine honor be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." Now these two sons were guilty of a massacre of the Shechemites because of something that happened with one of their sisters. And they took things into their own hands, and they did something that it seems to me that Jacob didn't have any part in it and didn't want any part in it. And that shameful behavior was something that he didn't approve of. But again, children that take a course in their life, it's dishonorable. It follows the family. Family history, as people look back on it, they think about what the children was like, what they did in their life, or what course their life took. So, as we enter this introduction to what his children were like, it doesn't look too good. I tend to think that his own behavior and his own life had something to do with that. Don't really know. We know he was, as we've pointed out, considered to be a very clever man. Indeed, that may have had something to do with it. Maybe it's payday time. Maybe he's being paid back for some of the things that he did. That happens sometimes. Your sins will find you out. And in the course of his life and what his home life, their home life was like, we're not told. Was he devoted to serving the Lord and honoring the Lord in his own life? You know, our children watch us. They remember what we did. And how we manage the affairs in our homes. And so that may be one of the reasons. That's it, where we come accountable for what happened. Then we have Judah. Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. This is just a picture to us of Judah. He does say some things that indeed are quite commendable. I think it is a presentation to us, more or less, of the nation of Israel. There were times of rich blessing. There were times when things went well. But there's something about the whole makeup of individuals and nations. If you forget God, if for any reason you take a course contrary to the mind and the will of God, there has to be payment for it. And so often in Scripture, and we've read, and this has been impressed upon our hearts many times, God loves obedience from His people. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And so we have good things, we have sometimes bad things that happen in the course of the lives of some of these children. And it's true of us. We have the good times, and sometimes we have the bad times. Sometimes we have things happen, and we're a part of a conduct that we just as soon it wouldn't be remembered. And then the other times when we like to be complimented for being faithful and being true and doing the right thing. Then there was Zebulun. He shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Now, the very idea of Zebulun, he's kind of exiled. He's a little off the beaten path, so to be, you might say. He's not a shepherd boy. He's taken to maybe a lifestyle quite different from what Jacob was accustomed to. And sometimes that happens in the course of life. Nothing wrong with it. People sometimes are drawn into things that have a stronger appeal than others, and so it was with Zebulun. The haven of the sea, attracted to something about that life, seemed important to him. There's no condemnation, but a little different. Then we have Issachar. He's a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good and the land that it was pleasant. And he bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribute. It seems that he wasn't a man that was afraid to exert himself and work hard. These things seem to come out in the life of Issachar. He would indeed be someone that Jacob could say to his other sons, he's a good boy. He's a good boy. Maybe he's proud of him. He did things, maybe it was a reflection upon, you think about it now, he's not speaking as Jacob. He's speaking as Israel. One that indeed was to honor God in his life. And then we have Dan. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heel so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Indeed, Dan is the Danite. They are those that had a reputation of doing things different. Someone says they kind of took steps sometimes that they weren't environmentalists. They polluted things. There are some things said about them in Scripture that would indicate that indeed they were different. And of course, don't think for a moment that a man like Jacob or Israel, that he wouldn't take note of all this. Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. So he had sons that were trained soldiers, warriors, diversification. They were different, all of them. And I don't know why he did what he did. I don't believe that what Jacob is doing at this time is something that was a common thing among the children of Israel, the people of God. But he, for some reason, decides that he will disclose exactly what his family is like, his sons. He's going to tell everything there is to be told. I'm sure that he would elaborate and give us a lot more. But Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. And out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. This is the man I wanted to get to. This one is so important. It's Joseph. his two sons by Rachel. We have Joseph and Benjamin. Benjamin was his favorite. He was the apple of his daddy's eye. He was the last. Joseph, if you read about his life, and if there's one character in the Old Testament that gives us a kind of cameo picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's Joseph. How commendable his life is. You can read some things that he had to say about him when he says he's a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Joseph was a blessing, hated by his brethren. Of course, there's a story in that in itself about how Jacob had made a pet out of his boy Joseph. He had favored him so much that he caused some of the things that happened to him to happen because all those other boys of his didn't like it. And they took it out on him and did some bad things. But, you know, God's hand sovereignly was in it all, and he ends up down in the land of Egypt, and one day he will be a blessing to them all. And all of that is brought out in Scripture. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone, according to his blessings, he blessed them. There were things that he said that he knew it was complimentary. There were things that he said about them that maybe would cause them to feel a little sense of shame. Isn't that so typical of life? Ups and downs, good times, bad times, times when you excelled. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we're very spiritual-minded. Sometimes the things of God are so rich and wonderful to our souls. And then we find ourselves dry, looking for some refreshment. Sometimes trying to find it in something else, but you can't find it anywhere but in the Lord. And we're told that the very minute that you began to neglect that time that's so important in hearing God speak to you through His Word, and you on your faces before Him in prayer, telling Him all about your troubles, and telling Him how much you love Him and how much you appreciate what He's done for you. These are the experiences of life, and this was Jacob's experience with his sons. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. How would you like to leave here like that? Have your last words, have the family around, have a last word for them, maybe some words of wisdom, hopefully, and said, all right, children, it's time to go home. And he gathered his feet up into his bed, and the boys pulled the covers up over him, and he went to sleep. He died, and he went to be with the Lord. That's not a bad ending, is it? They shared something with us that you don't hear too much about in the course of Scripture. So I trust this will just excite us a little bit and make us think about some other things.